All right, so we're very pleased today to have a talk by Karina Keller. She's put her title up there. It's a bit of a mouthful, so I won't say it, but please take it away.
Okay, well, first of all, thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity to speak in your seminar. So everything I am going to talk about is based on joint work with Lukas Müller and can also be found on the archive. So there's this preprint. And yeah, so my talk today will consist of three parts. So I will start by giving an introduction to the factorization homology approach to quantization of the modular space of G-local systems, and also give some general background on categorical factorization homology, just well, so that everyone is kind of on the same page. And then in a second part, I will explain how to compute factorization homology on surfaces with D bundles. So D here is a finite group. And then in the last part, I will talk about the quantization of so-called twisted character varieties using this D structure, or in this case, out G structured factorization homology approach. So this is the outline. And yeah, so let me start with my introduction. So the introduction is about this approach by Bensvi, Prochie, and Jordan using factorization homology to quantize G-local systems. And the setup throughout this talk will be the following. So sigma is a group of genus G, and R boundary components is a surface of genus G and R boundary components. And so we assume that we have at least one boundary component. And G is a reductive group. And then like the main object of interest here is this modelized space of G-local systems on sigma, or well, more precisely, the category of quasi-coherent G's on the modelized space. And it's a result by Bensvi, Prochie, and Jordan that one can identify this category with factorization homology over the surface sigma with coefficients in rep G. And well, I will define this right-hand side in a minute, but for now it's just important to know that it has a local to global property. So meaning that we can attach data locally to the surface, so categorical data, so in this case it's rep G, and then we glue this local data over the surface to get a global categorical invariant. So, and using this local to global property then motivates the following quantization scheme. So the idea is to quantize the theory locally. So this means that we replace rep G by rep QG. So the representation category of the quantum, the corresponding quantum group. And then we glue this local data via factorization homology. And we denote the resulting, or we call the resulting category the quantum character variety. Okay, so but yeah, so what we have here is a, well, it's a purely topological construction, but well, sometimes or often what one wants to have is like a an explicit algebraic description of this category. So how can we get that? Wait. So. Okay, so for that, consider in the surface with a boundary and assume we have a marked interval on the boundary. So then we consider an embedding of a disk along this interval. Then factorization homology is well, it's functorial with respect to embeddings. So what we get is an action of the category RepQG on the quantum character variety. Okay, so now here we have a this category that we want to understand, but that, well, is potentially complicated. And here we have a category that we know rather well. So somehow the idea, or intuitively the idea, is to describe this quantum character variety internally in terms of RepQG. And yeah, so the techniques to do so go under the name of Barbeck magnetic reconstruction, and we'll see the details of this like later on in the talk. So, but for now, let me just state one of the main results of Bensby, Prochier, and Jordan, namely that if given a ribbon graph presentation of the surface sigma with one vertex, then there is an equivalence of RepQG module categories between, or we can identify this quantum character variety with the category of modules over the so-called AGS algebra in RepQG. So this AGS, or AGS stands for Alexeyev, Grosse, and Chomorus. And just as a very brief reminder, so this algebra has two like building blocks. So on the one hand, it's the reflection equation algebra. So this is a quantization of the functions on G, and or it's sometimes, maybe you know it under the name like the braided tool of UQG. And on the other hand, we have this algebra of quantum differential operators, which is also built out of the reflection equation algebra, but we have some plus some cross relations. So, well, if, for example, this ribbon graph has edges given by the generators of the fundamental group, then this will be this AGS algebra. I think more importantly, or what should be the takeaway here, is that this AGS algebra is a quantization of the Fock-Rosley-Poisson structure on the G character representation variety and the descent to the G character variety. So we see that with this factorization homology approach, we can recover well-known quantizations. Okay, so yeah, where is our work tying in? So what we wanted to do is to compute categorical factorization homology, but now on oriented surfaces with principal D bundles. So D here is a finite group. And then as like an application, we take D to be the group of outer automorphisms. And then we show that factorization homology, or this out G decorated factorization homology, quantizes out G, so-called out G twisted character varieties. Okay, so this will be like the content of this talk. So, but before diving into the D decorated setting, as mentioned before, I will just give some backgrounds and explain, or establish the categorical setting that we are going to work in. Okay. So, yeah. So our categories, they live in what I call PRC. So that is the category of K-linear finitely presentable categories. And here, note that we only take natural isos as two morphisms. So we have a 2-1 category. And this 2-1 category is closed symmetric monoidal under the Deligne-Kelly tensor product. So probably for us, the main example to have in mind is if you take H, a Ribbon-Hopf algebra, and then take the category of locally finite modules over H, that lives in PRC. Okay, now we can define framed E2 algebras in PRC. So those are symmetric nodal functors from the oriented disk category to PRC. So the disk, so this oriented disk category, well, it's a subcategory of disks of the category of oriented surfaces, where we have oriented embeddings as the one morphisms and equivalence classes of isotopies of embeddings as two morphisms. And then by a result of Salvatore and Val, we see that these framed E2 algebras in PRC are actually something rather familiar, namely, they are balanced graded tensor categories. So just very briefly, like how we can like intuitively understand this result. So it's just that, well, the monoidal structure, you can see this as coming from this disk embedding, and then the braiding comes from a path in the space of embeddings that rotates the disks around each other. And finally, the balancing comes from the loop in the space of embeddings that rotates the disk. Okay, so now we have our coefficient. So this is the local data. We need to define factorization homology, and of course, at this point, I should mention that of course factorization homology is defined in a way more general context. But I mean, I'm only working in this with this categorical factorization homology, so this is kind of what I'm going to restrict myself to. So here is this version. So if we have now given such a framed E2 algebra, so a balanced graded tensor category, then factorization homology is defined as the left Kahn extension of A along this natural inclusion. And well, we have a pointwise formula. So on a manifold N, factorization homology can be computed as this co-limit over all possible disk embeddings. However, like in practice, this co-limit might still be difficult to compute. So in practice, we are actually going to use some nice properties that factorization homology satisfies to do computations. So again, those also hold in more general context, but yeah. Here, what we will need is that the value of factorization homology on a disk, so it recovers A, so this is, we can see this directly from the co-limit formula. And then if our surface is given as a product of this form, then factorization homology has the structure of an E1 algebra in PRC. So the E1 algebra structure just comes from embedding intervals into another interval. And lastly, factorization homology satisfies what's called tensor excision. This is actually going to be kind of the main tool for us to compute factorization homology. And tensor excision, so what does this mean? So consider a manifold, a surface as a F-tron here with an open cover, a minus and a plus, such that their intersection, so here denoted by M naught, is diffeomorphic to the product of a one-dimensional manifold here N and an open interval. Then in this case, factorization homology on this surface can be identified with this relative tensor product here. And well, you can see that this is a very powerful, that excision is a very powerful tool, because it tells us that we only need to know or compute factorization homology on smaller pieces. And then, well, the relative tensor product might still be difficult to compute, but yeah. So we're going to see an application of this like later on. Okay. So now let's get to the D-decorated setting. So as I mentioned, D is a finite group. And then we're going to work in the category of manifolds with D bundles. Here, objects are again surfaces, but now equipped with a map to BD. Morphisms are, well, again, embeddings, but now together with a homotopy between the corresponding maps. And the two morphisms are, again, equivalence classes of isotopies between embeddings, but now also some compatibilities between the homotopies. And well, in this D-decorated case, if given now a D-disk algebra in PRC, factorization homology is again computed as the left Kahn extension. So, the question before we had like a nice, or we knew exactly what these disk algebras are. Here we have again a nice description. So this is due to Tim Willink, who showed that such categorical D-disk algebras are balanced graded tensor categories, but now together with a D-action. So for each group element, we have a balanced graded automorphism. And yeah, so intuitively, we can understand this result by just noticing that on the level of objects, nothing really changes because a map to BD can be assumed to be constant. However, now we do have non-trivial morphisms by given by gauge transformations. So this is where it is. Automorphism comes from. Okay, so yeah, I think we should look at an example. So now we take D to be the group of outer automorphisms of G. And in the classical case, we act with an element in the outer automorphism group on a representation by pulling it back along the inverse. So we want a left action. And then we want to extend this to the category of representations of a quantum group. Okay, so in order to do this, we have to recall that the outer automorphisms are classified by Dynkin diagram automorphisms. And so a Dynkin diagram automorphism, just as a reminder, is a bijection on the set of nodes such that the Cartan matrix is invariant. So for example, here are two examples. In the case of the Dynkin diagram Dn, we just swap these two nodes here. And for An, we swap the first and the last node, the second and the second to last node, and so on. Yeah, so and here, I mean, we restrict to Dynkin diagrams of type An, Dn, or E6 because those are the only ones with non-trivial automorphisms. And we fix a set of simple roots. And again, Aij is the Cartan matrix. And then formal quantum group, this is a Hopf algebraic deformation of the universal enveloping algebra of G over the ring of formal power series. And it has a presentation in terms of generators and relations. which then allows us to write down an action of a Dynkin diagram automorphism as just given here. Okay, so what do we have to check? We have to make sure that, so we want graded automorphisms, right? So we have to make sure that the action, so for RepHT, this means that we have to preserve the universal R matrix. And so I will just like explain with an example kind of what happens. So what we have to do in order to write down the universal R matrix is to fix a normal ordering on the positive roots. So I have written down a normal ordering here. And then we can define the universal R matrix, or it is defined as having this multiplicative form. So here we have the Cartan part. And the R and R hat is defined using this root vectors. And here the product is ordered according to the fixed normal ordering that we have given here. So now what happens when we act by Dynkin diagram automorphism? So here, this just swaps the two nodes. And the Cartan part is clearly left invariant due to invariance of the Cartan matrix. And for the R hat part, the action of the automorphism corresponds to a change in the normal order that we fixed in the beginning. However, it has been shown that the universal R matrix is invariant for a given is invariant of the chosen normal ordering, and thus we see that it is preserved. Yeah, and so we get a left action out G action on the representation category. So for the formal quantum group, and similarly, we also get one on a non-formal version. Okay. So this, with this, the first part of this talk is over. So are there questions, or should we do questions in the end?
So I would just pause for questions.
Yeah.
But does anyone actually have any?
Or we can also wait for the end, and I will just go on. Oh. Okay. So now, let's see how to compute factorization homology. I will go through the example of the annulus with the D bundle in quite some details, and then just give the general idea for other punctured surfaces. Okay, so let us first recall for the undecorated case that via excision we can identify factorization homology and the annulus with this relative tensor product. So here A box A acts via the regular action from the left and from the right. And then in the D-decorated setting, consider an annulus with a map to BD, which is such that it maps this red loop to the group element little d. Okay, so in the category of D-manifolds, this is equivalent to what we have here on the right-hand side. So, here we have a map gamma d prime, which is such that it is constant here along the gray part of the loop. And then on the red part, it is precisely given by gamma d. Okay, so now also notice that if we restrict gamma d prime to sigma naught, then again in the category of D manifolds, we can identify gamma sigma naught with this restriction, with a product manifold and the constant map to BD. So here, of course, N is just the disjoint union of two intervals. And then it turns out that making this identification here compatible with the module structure that we get from excision leads to a twist of the regular module structure, so which I indicate here by A sub T. And with twist here, I mean that we pull back the regular module structure via the automorphism corresponding to the group element T. Okay, so now, yeah, the kind of the next step or what's, so I said in the beginning, if we want something, we probably want to have something like modules over some algebra. And in order to get or to achieve this, we need reconstruction techniques. So yeah, just maybe one slide to just to recall what I mean by that. So now for the moment, forget about the annulus. So here A is just a rigid abelian tensor category and M is some A module category. And everything here is in PRC. And then for each, object in M, we get a map from A to M just by acting on this distinguished object. This has a wide adjoint. And so we get a functor from this A module category M to the category of modules over the monad defined via this adjunction data. And we can ask or if there are situations where this map is actually an equivalence. And the answer is given by this theorem, which tells us that, well, yes, if this right adjoint is faithful and collimit preserving, then this map is an equivalent, so, or M is equivalent as an A module category to the category of modules over this endomorphism algebra, which is defined in terms of this adjunction data. Okay, so now let's come back to the example of the annulus. So in this case, we can write down a functor from A to the relative tensor product, sending A to one box A. Turns out that this has a right adjoint, which now here is given, or as you can see, like it is given in terms of, or by the right adjoint, using the right adjoint of this twisted regular action that I mentioned before. So here that's the regular action and we pull back along the automorphism. And so it turns out that we are in this in the situation of the theorem from the last slide. So we can apply the Baer-Beck theorem to get an equivalence of factorization homology on the D-decorated annulus with modules over some algebra, which is defined in terms of this twisted regular action. And yeah, so more, or we can make this algebra maybe a little bit more explicit. So it is a, I will call it a twisted Cohen algebra since it can be identified well with this Cohen, where here we have the automorphism appearing and so just denoted, I'll denote it by F superscript D. And to make it even more explicit, let's take as an example, consider A to be the category of locally finite modules over now a Ribbon-Hopf algebra with the D action. F E, so E being the identity component of D is this reflection equation algebra that we've seen in the beginning of the talk. And so for just some more general D, no more champ. So just for any D, we can, this the twisted coin algebra as an H module is given by the restricted dual of H with a D-twisted co-adjoint action. And we can also write down a multiplication here's the multiplication. It doesn't matter so much. It's just that, well, you have R matrices and also the element T appearing in this formula. Okay. So yeah, in general, we get this identification with modules over the twisted coend algebra in A. Good. So now moving on to more general surfaces. Yeah, so we just consider surfaces with boundary, at least one boundary component, and we need a combinatorial description of the surface. And so this means that we pick a ribbon graph model for the surface, which we describe by means of a gluing pattern. So this kind of, this just tells us like how to glue disks with two marked intervals each to a disk with 2n marked intervals. So for example, here on the left side, so when we forget about this right-hand side, so gluing two disks, as indicated here, will give us a pair of pens. Gluing two disks, as indicated here on the right-hand side, would give a punctured torus. And then, so we describe the D-bundle by picking out n group elements, one for each disk that we glue in. And also, I mean, at this point, I kind of want to mention that, I mean, this approach is the way we prove things is based on the ideas presented in the paper of Pensvi, Proshi, and Jordan, and it is just an extension to this D-decorated setting. Okay, so what we do when we have this combinatorial description, we attach an algebra in A to this combinatorial data. And so this algebra is the tensor product of the twisted coend algebras. Okay, this is just as an object in A. But in order to define a multiplication, we need to specify cross relations between the different tensor factors in A. And these cross relations depend on the gluing pattern. So for example, if we take or say we have the pair of pens, we decorate it with group elements T1 and T2. So this, again, as just an object in A. Then in order to define a multiplication, what we do is to say how to swap FD2 and FD1. And then we multiply in the twisted coend algebra. So for example, in the case of the pair of pens, this swapping morphism or this crossing morphism is nothing but the braiding in A. But of course, for another gluing pattern, this would look, or we have to we specify a different crossing morphism. Okay. So this describes this algebra in A, and then so with the same strategy that I have explained in details for the annulus, so using excision, using reconstruction, then showed that for a surface with a fixed principal D bundle, and the corresponding decorated ribbon graph presentation, we get an equivalence of categories of factorization homology on this D-decorated surface and the category of modules over this algebra that I just described. Yeah, okay, so this concludes the second part of this talk. So maybe that's also a good point to kind of remember from the introduction that the Bensky Cauchy-Jordan result, I mean, it looks very similar, just minus the D-bundle decoration. And in their case, I said that the algebras that they get quantize the Fock-Rossley Poisson structure on the G character variety, right? And so now this third part is to describe the Poisson structure that we quantize in this case. Okay, so for this last part, well, D is now the group of outer automorphisms of G. And I should probably start by telling you what I mean by this LG twisted representation variety. So as usual, we have surfaces with a boundary component, and we encode the LG bundle by picking out 2G plus R minus 1 group elements in LG. Then an element in this root twisted representation variety is, it's a lift of this diagram where the arrow here is just the projection. And yeah, so we can describe such a lift as a map of sets from pi 1 of sigma to g, such that its value on the composition of two loops is not just the multiplication in G, but we first act here by the automorphism, and then we multiply. And so the group G acts on this twisted representation variety. So there's an action of G via twisted conjugation. So we have again the automorphism appearing. And now we, so now I want to describe a Poisson structure on the twisted representation variety that is compatible with the twisted conjugation action. And so what we did is to actually make use of the Fock-Rossley construction. So just recall briefly like what goes or what input is needed in order to define a Poisson structure just on the G representation variety. So now first the untwisted case. So as input, you need a graph model of your surface. And we will consider a graph model with one vertex and the edges being the generators of the fundamental group. And then a graph connection is just a map from E to G, such that the set of graph connections is identified with 2G plus R minus 1 copies of G. Okay, and since we only have one vertex, the lattice gauge group is just one copy of G. And we also need as an input, a classical R matrix. And so given all of that, Fock and Rossley define a Poisson structure on the G representation variety. So in this case, so maybe here I should say on the set of graph connections, such that the action of the lattice gauge group, so in our case G, is Poissonian. So which means that the Poisson structure descends to the quotient. Okay, and yeah, so what? So use or making. So making use of this Fock-Rossley construction We could then write down a Poisson by vector on the twisted representation variety, so as defined here. And so, well, this is kind of for, like, if you are already familiar with the Fock-Rossley Poisson structure, then you just see that this looks basically identical. The only, or like the only difference being that here, I maybe should say that we sum here over the half edges of the graph. So if the half edge is outgoing at the vertex, then we have this twist with the automorphism that corresponds to the to the edge, or that we attach to the edge alpha here. But yeah, so without this twist, that would be the Fock-Rossley Poisson structure. And this Poisson structure is compatible with the twisted conjugation action. Good. The last thing maybe I want to mention what we want to do now is to see that the algebra we got from factorization homology actually quantizes this Poisson structure. So now we work with a formal parameter h bar, and so the algebra we got from factorization homology, we saw that it is given in terms of this twisted Cohen. So here I'm writing O kappa of G for the twisted Cohen. And yeah, so we want to show that this algebra is a deformation quantization of the Poisson structure on the twisted representation variety. And this is actually it's a direct computation. So I will again just discuss the example of the annulus, and then just state the more general result. Okay. So for the annulus, so say we have an annulus decorated with an automorphism kappa, then from the formula on the previous slide, we see that the Poisson structure is a twisted version of the STS Poisson structure. So this STS stands for Semenov-Tianchansky. And the algebra we get from factorization homology, okay, it's not written down here, but it's just one copy of, so it's the kappa twisted Cohen's algebra. And yeah, and the multiplication in the Cohen algebra is, you can like write it down in a diagram as I've given here. And then, well, I'm not like doing the whole thing, so I'm cheating a little bit. We already start with the Drinfeld Poisson structure. And then from this diagram, we can just kind of read off what terms we have to add to the Drinfeld Poisson structure and check if we get the right thing. So the recipe somehow to do so is that, well, I mean, each braiding, whenever we braid, we act by the quantum R matrix. And yeah, I probably should have. Yeah, so I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but here, omega just means that that's the anti-symmetric part of the R matrix, of the classical R matrix. Okay. Back to the recipe. What we have to do here is just like whatever a lag of the quantum R matrix acts on the dual representation, that means in the Cauchy classical limit that the corresponding factor of the classical R matrix acts via right invariant vector field. And if we act on the like on the pullback via the automorphism, then this will correspond to acting via kappa twisted left invariant vector fields. So this meaning that this spreading up here will contribute the first, or we have to add this first term, and for the crossing down here, we will subtract this second term. And then since we compute a commutator, well, we have to subtract kind of the same term, but just with the indices swapped. And then, well, okay, I mean, rewriting this a little bit, you see that you get this kappa twisted STS Poisson structure. So showing, or yeah, and then you can do this or similar computations for more general surfaces. And then, so we could show that the algebra or that factorization homology on the algebra we get from factorization homology on a surface with a fixed out D out G bundle gives us a deformation quantization of the twisted Fokrossli Poisson structure. Yeah, so I think we said like 50 minutes, if I remember correctly. So I think I will end here and are there questions?
Can you remind me, your groups are all like, I'm supposed to think of the simply connected groups, right? In all cases?
Yeah, so,
like you're quantizing the character variables for simply connected forms.
Reductive groups. Okay. So, yeah.
Because if your group has a center, then, like if G has center, then in addition to the semi-direct product G by out G, there's also non-split extensions of the same form. So like the two different pin groups are both versions of spin by outer automorphisms. Did you sort of look at all of those, or just the split versions, or just the sort of?
So yeah, we only looked at groups having automorphisms given by the semi-direct product of G and out G. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, and then using like the Dynkin diagram automorphisms to kind of
right.
And you realize just out G as a sub.
Okay. Because I couldn't track in real time if there would be any sort of difference. Maybe there isn't. Maybe it just sort of the story goes through. But like I think on the category side, this appear like it shows up as like different ways to make out G act on the category rep G.
So I don't know. As I said, like we only looked at this. Okay. Yeah.
So this is a little bit one of those just kind of free associating things, but you know, a long time ago I thought about this Fokrossli stuff because it seemed like it would be related to cluster algebras. You know,
okay.
If there's any sort of cluster algebra, well, you know, there's this whole higher type Mueller theory story from Fok and Goncharov. Does any of that apply to this twisted version of the character variety?
Here, I have to be very honest. I mean, I've heard the words, but I am very much not familiar with cluster quantization. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem.
Cannot.
I mean, The sort of interesting thing you would be looking for after deformation quantization would be like copies of the quantum torus inside the quantized guy. Right.
Can I maybe just ask a question to kind of try to understand a little bit better what this does? Mm-hmm. Okay, are you talking about like for factorization homology surfaces with certain line defects and different? So this is somehow what I remember should. So that you have like different coefficients that you have like a torus, you have.
You're thinking about the, you know, that you have to add in these like markings at the punctures.
Yeah. So, or that would be maybe my question to see. I mean, we do have. I wasn't sure like how long the presentation is going to be. So, I mean, we can encode line defects and point defects also in this decorated setting. So. Mm-hmm. Maybe that could be something. So, for example, if you would have a line defect, I would have to know what exactly the defects are. But,
sure.
So there would be at least, we could.
Yeah, I mean, it's been ages since I've thought about this stuff. Yeah. I'm just kind of like, oh, yeah, they did have those. They did have like markings of the punctures. But well, that's an interesting thing to think about in the future. Any other questions? Okay, great. Well, let's thank Karina again.